Whatever makes me happy must be right. Whatever makes me unhappy must be wrong. You have to accept this to believe that God wants you to be happy above all else. Number two, discomfort, delay, risk, suffering, inconvenience, and obstacles can't be God's will. If something happens that I don't like, then it can't be God's will. Then God can't be all powerful. That's what you have to believe in order to believe that God wants you to be happy. And number three, without knowing it, I begin to worship the false gods of comfort, money, pleasure, and things. And this is where many people live their lives, even Christians, believe it or not. If God wants me to be happy, then we have to believe that God exists to serve me. And the reality of it is that God doesn't exist to serve us. Do you know that? We exist to worship God. That is why God created us. That is our purpose. And we start to treat God, like I've used this before, the cosmic Coke machine, right? The vending machines. We don't see a lot of them these days, but you know what I'm talking about. I've used this illustration before, but we go up to the vending machine, we put our dollar in, and then we punch in what we expect and what we want God to do. And we treat God like this. If I do good things, if I go to church, if I don't swear, if I give a little money, if I help the poor, then God must give me what I want. Can we be honest a little? Like we treat God like this. God, I've been good this year. I went to church like half the time, right? You need to give me what I want. I'm doing you a favor by coming to church. Can we stop acting like we're doing people favors? We're here to worship God, what we're created to do. If I pray hard enough for my team to win, God will have to help my team win. There's some problems with this. Because what if there's Christians on the other team? It's whoever prays hardest, whoever has more, right? We get into some problems there. We pray for our favorite sports team. I used to even try and look up which team had more Christians on their team. I honestly did this. Who do I like this week? Well, who has the most Christians on their team? And I thought to myself, if my team has more Christians on it than the other team, we would have to win. But the problem with this line of thinking or belief is that we will all end up one day waking up and we'll be unhappy about something. And then we will think that God has failed us because of our feelings. Ooh. Or even worse, that we might wake up and think God must not exist if I'm feeling this way. God must not exist if I'm going through this season of unhappiness. Some people might even tell you, I tried religion. It didn't do it for me. You ever hear that line? I tried it. It didn't, you know, Jesus didn't do it for me. I went to church for 3 weeks in a row. My marriage is still terrible. I prayed for a whole 5 minutes yesterday and still lost my job. And we get into this watered down version of God that says he exists to make our lives better. He exists to make me happy. And when I'm not happy, God is not doing his job. Now, before you walk out, make sure you hear me say this. I don't believe that God is against happiness, right? I believe that he delights when you enjoy things in life. But here's my point this morning, is that that's not God's highest calling on your life. Let's use this for example. Cooper actually started playing football this year, which is very fun. I played football for about 5 minutes until I got hit in my arm and I quit. Ugh. Like, you ever have the cage of a football helmet hit you right in the elbow? I've had enough of this. Let's go play baseball where they don't touch each other. But Cooper's playing football. He loves it. Okay, and I love watching him have fun. Like he flies around, he loves it. He's happy playing with his friends, and you know, and say he gets a big. The other day, he got a big hit to save the game. The guy was going for the winning touchdown. Cooper tackles him. He gets so excited. I'm happy. I delight with him, and I'm happy for him. But say he gets that big hit, he gets so excited, he stands over the guy that he tackled and starts dancing on him, right? Starts taunting him, starts making fun of him. He's having ha I'm not as excited anymore. I'm not as worried about his happiness as I am about his character. His behavior, his attitude. God doesn't want you to pursue happy. God wants you to pursue him. Hear me, hear me. God doesn't want you to pursue him in the name of happiness either. We don't just pursue God because it'll, you know. God is the goal. His presence is the prize. He doesn't want you to serve him so that you get what you want. That's using God. He wants you to serve him because of who he is. He is Almighty God. He created us in our mother's womb, right? He knows every single thing about you, and he chooses to love you. And all he wants in return is us to worship him and point others towards him. So hear me. Don't walk out of here saying, the pastor said God doesn't want me to be happy. Okay? God doesn't mind, okay, you being happy. But it's not the goal. So today, just so we can all sort of get on the same page here, God doesn't care about your happiness when, number one, it causes you to do something wrong or unwise. You see, if your happiness is causing you to sin, right? Or do something dumb, if that wasn't clear enough for you, dumb. There are lots of things in life that can be really fun, but they actually lead us down a path of destruction. Sin can be fun. If you don't think sin can be fun, you weren't doing it right. Okay? It can be fun. Right? Can we just, yeah, let's be honest. Okay? But fun and happiness are not God's calling for your life. What is God's calling for your life? 1 Peter 1:15. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Ooh, holy. I'm called to be holy, right? Without sin. When we believe that God wants us to be happy, when we tell ourselves that God just wants you, then when we are unhappy, we justify and talk ourselves into things that are wrong, and we believe that we are doing things that are right. We say, but this makes me so happy. I've heard people say it, but it just makes me so happy. Right? God gives us parameters. Whatever it could be, it makes me happy. It's okay. God wants me to be happy. I'm sorry. God doesn't want you to be happy if it causes you to sin. That's my point. Sorry to burst your bubble. Right? Whatever it might be, sex, entertainment, whatever it is. God gave us parameters. We know what they are. Number two, God doesn't care about your happiness when it's only based on the things of this world. Now, this is a very broad point, and my wife pointed that out to me when she was doing my PowerPoints. She's like, "Is that it? When you say, 'I need this to be ha-,' right?" 1 John 2, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. How could this be any more clear? Right? We have the Word of God. We're told what to do and what not to do. Right? If anyone loves things outside of that in the world, love of the Father is not in them. If that doesn't tackle the issues of our world, I don't know what does. Here is a false equation that the world feeds us. Better possessions plus peaceful circumstances plus thrilling experiences plus the right relationships plus the perfect appearance equals happiness. If I can just have everything that this world has to offer, I can be happy. The best cars, the best house. The problem is that these things don't fulfill us. It's actually an imitation of real joy or real satisfaction. It's like all these places coming out with like Beyond Meat burgers. Sorry to offend anybody that eats those, but it's an imitation. It's yummy. Come on. Nothing against these places for trying to get healthier. Sorry, I didn't know we had such a health crowd in here. If you can believe it, I've never eaten a Beyond Meat burger, okay? Nothing against these places. Trying to appeal to a wider audience, I get it. But nothing can really take the place in my eyes of a real beef burger, amen? Oh, yeah, okay. You can dress up these plants and make them look like meat. Make it smell like kind of like meat. Try and season it, but it's not quite the same. Sorry. All these things of the world are just imitations of what God truly gives us. You see, the world knows that God gives good gifts. But they don't want to submit to God. So they're like, why can't we make imitations of what God gives us? God's presence alone can satisfy. We find joy in his presence. We find peace beyond understanding in his presence. We find satisfaction and contentment in his presence. God doesn't want you happy when it causes you to do something wrong. And he doesn't want you happy when it's based on just getting things of this world. Demelza has a great aunt. And great aunt Rachel. And if you ask her how she's doing, it does not matter what she's going through that day. She's going to say, I am blessed and highly favored. And she'll say, as are you. God's highest calling for you is to be blessed. And you might say this morning, that sounds like the same thing. Blessed, happy. Happy and blessed. Isn't that a hymn? The Greek word for blessed, makaros, means to be supremely blessed or more than happy. More than happy. That's the Greek word. That was my 2 semesters of Greek coming at you, Dad. You're welcome. It doesn't mean you're never going to get sick. It doesn't mean that nothing bad is ever going to happen to you. It doesn't mean you're never going to get another zit. It doesn't mean that God's answer is always going to be yes right away when you ask. But when it does mean that you can still experience God's joy and blessings, even when things aren't going the way you want them to go. You can still experience God's joy and blessings. You can say, I am blessed and highly favored. As are you. It means that you can still experience joy in the middle of a trial. In your weakest moment, you can find strength in Christ. Because when we are weak, he is strong. When you are going through grief and loss, it means you can experience peace that passes all understanding. And I don't think we quite really get this peace that passes all understanding until you have to walk through something. And people say, how are you keeping this all together? I've got peace. Psalm 37, verse 4. I know I'm jumping all over the place, and that bothers some people. Bear with me. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. What does that sound like to us, though? What can we, if we're happy in God, we will get what we want. But what does the word delight mean? It translates to being soft, of pliable. When we are seeking him, and when he is your highest goal, when we trust in God, when his presence is what we want, suddenly he is giving you his desires. Because guess what? When you seek out his presence, when you spend time with God, suddenly we want the things that God wants. You understand that? His presence comes first. Some people like to put that backwards. I want something. Okay, let's go into his presence so I can get what I want. No, we go into his presence. God fills us with his desires. Then suddenly, yeah, we start praying according to his will. When his presence is what we want, suddenly he is giving you his desires. Your prayers become consistent with God's heart and God's will. And God will give you the desires of your heart if you are seeking him. You can't say one without the other. Because you've made yourself pliable, moldable. You've made yourself soft to the Lord in his presence. Max Lucado put it this way in one of his books. Say you took a fish out of the water and onto the beach. Would the fish be happy? Now say you gave the fish $1 million. Would he be happy on the beach? Now give him $1 million, a nice chair, a nice cold drink, and a big TV screen. Would the fish be happy? Why? Because the fish was not created to be on land. The fish was created to be in the water. And just as the fish was not created for land, we are not created for this world. This is not our final destination. We are created for eternity with God. Nothing in this world will truly satisfy. I don't know how many more times Jesus can say the same thing over and over again in the Gospels. Don't store up your treasures here. Because what our souls crave, what our souls long, is to be reunited with our Creator. And when you seek him, delight in him, suddenly you find joy, peace, contentment in him and him alone. God may delight in your happiness, but God's greatest desire is for you to be holy and for you to be blessed. That sounds pretty good too. We started off this message by reading the verse from Psalm 97. That I took way out of context, saying, may the godly be happy. I actually didn't read the whole verse, surprise. May the godly be happy in the Lord and praise his holy name. Find something greater than the temporary happiness of this world. Joy, unspeakable joy. Delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So as I close, and if someone could go grab the kids for communion, that would be fantastic. God, God doesn't care about your happiness. That might be a harsh phrase, but you might remember it. God wants you to be holy, righteous, blessed beyond measure, and he wants us to seek him first and delight in his presence. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. I'm going to pray for you this morning, and then we're going to take communion together. Father, I thank you so much for who you are. God, I thank you that your highest calling on our lives is not for us to be happy, but for us to be holy and blessed beyond measure. God, I pray that we would take that to heart this morning, that we would not pursue the things of this world, but we would pursue your presence and everything you have for us. God, we thank you that there's peace in your presence. There's joy in your presence. I thank you that we have this opportunity to worship you as we're coming to the table this morning. We thank you for your sacrifice that you made on that cross so that we have the opportunity to surrender our lives to you, become more and more like Jesus each and every day. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.